The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
You're tuned into The Pulse on CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver. I'm John Z, and today I'm speaking with Fraser McPherson, who is a registered nurse and organizer with the Defund 604 Network and Care Not Cops. Defund 604 is a collective that aims to defund and abolish the police in Vancouver, and Care Not Cops is a combined group of healthcare workers and practitioners that was formed to reduce the violence in policing and build up community care. Weaved into our conversation are live recordings of activists, speakers, and musicians from the Justice for Jared event, which was a gathering on October 22nd at Oppenheimer Park in the downtown East Side. This event was hosted by Defund 604 and was created in memory of Jared Lowndes, who was from the Wet'suwet'en Nation and was killed this year in July by police in Campbell River. Together, Fraser and I discussed the Jared Lowndes case and the significance of commemorating it on October 22nd, which is a national day of protest to stop police brutality, repression, and the criminalization of a generation. This day of protest has been organized for 25 years, beginning back in 1996, with events taking place each year across North America. Our interview does take place at a coffee shop in the downtown East Side, so please excuse some of the occasional background noise you may hear.
Talking about why we're here today. This one right here, a warrant should not be a death sentence. You should not be able to be pursued, to be attacked by police dogs, and to be murdered for an arrest warrant. That's absolutely disgusting, and we are here today asking for accountability, demanding accountability through all of our voices and all of our collective effort. This other poster behind us here, Justice for Jared, Feed the People. That's another reason that we're here today, to take all of this pain and do something good with it, to create an opportunity to feed the people, to connect with people, and to also educate ourselves and others about the violence of policing, the violence inherent in policing. We deserve better. We deserve more.
All right, can you please introduce yourself and tell us about Defund 604 and Care Not Cops?
Yeah, my name's Fraser. I'm a registered nurse. I've been organizing as a part of the Defund 604 Network, which is a group of folks here in Vancouver, Unceded Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh territories, organizing to defund and abolish the VPD. And Care Not Cops is a working group of that network that is made up of healthcare workers, practitioners, and kind of affiliated people who organize as part of Defund Network, also to defund the police, but specifically focusing on healthcare.
Okay. And can you share with us a brief history and your opinion on the relationship between the Vancouver police and, say, residents in the downtown East Side or just Vancouver in general? And what do you see working well, and what do you see as some ongoing concerns that need to be addressed?
I mean, I think the VPD has been essentially terrorizing the downtown East Side for a long time. And I think folks who live here experience that every day in ways that I don't, because I don't live in this neighborhood. But I think they're over-policed, scapegoated, experience a lot of police violence that doesn't really get documented or reported or witnessed or investigated, even though when all of those things do happen, which we have seen happen in downtown Eastside, still things don't change in the day-to-day for what folks experience. I think VPD overall, I think their scapegoating of downtown Eastside is just a reflection of their very anti-poor attitudes and approach. They treat poor people like garbage and that's just kind of their, the way they operate. In terms of healthcare things, I mean, Care Not Cop specifically has a lot of concerns about the way VPD works on healthcare teams and does things like outreach with healthcare practitioners. So Care Not Cop's kind of has a lot of concerns about the coercive nature of those types of healthcare encounters.
And I'm speaking to you just after the Justice for Jared event that just took place in Vancouver at Oppenheimer Park, which Defund 604 hosted. It was a very moving gathering, to say the least. We heard from members of Jared Lowndes' family, as well as other activists and musicians who shared powerful statements about police abuse. Can you tell us a bit about who Jared Lowndes was and the significance of this event?
Defund 604 was contacted by some of Jared's family after he was murdered by the Campbell River RCMP on July 8th, this last summer, because they were seeking justice for his death. So Jared was the Wet'suwet'en man who was very brutally killed by the Campbell River RCMP. They unleashed a police dog on him and then shot him and killed him. After his death, there was a lot of, there was a big outcry of support for the RCMP in losing their service dog. And there was a lot of silence about what happened to Jared. And the fact that the RCMP was just picking him up on a warrant, which is not a excuse to kill somebody. It's not any justification for using lethal force, which is what they did. So Defund had heard about the incident and then was contacted directly by Jared's family for support and organizing for justice for him. And we felt like it was important that the network support in whatever ways we could to get justice for Jared and to support his family in that fight. And we feel like part of our work towards a world without the violence of policing is to support people who experience police violence, those who witness it, and the families that are left behind after there's murders at the hands of police.
On the count of three, justice for Jared. One, two, three.
Justice for Jared.
One more time, justice for Jared.
Justice for Jared.
One more time, justice for Jared. All the way in the back, justice for Jared. Hell yeah, that's right.
And Jared had quite a lengthy history with police, and the events that led to his untimely passing were documented. He made a series of documentations that he gave to his lawyer, as well as just like kind of a timeline chronologically of his life from leading into the foster care system and kind of the miscarriage of justice between the judicial system and the VPD. I encourage people, I'll put the links to that in the episode description. I really encourage people to go and read that because it gives a lot more context and insight into the history of Jared Lowndes and the VPD. Defund 604 combined the Justice for Jared event today with October 22nd day, which is actually a day commemorated to stop police brutality, repression, and the criminalization of a generation. Can you provide a bit of background into this day and the significance behind it?
Yeah, so the October 22nd kind of national and international day of protest started back in the 90s with folks who were organizing against police violence in the U.S. They wanted specifically to do a day of action where folks would be out protesting, drawing attention to police brutality. They wanted to choose a time when folks could be out in the streets and draw attention to police violence. So this October 22nd actions are kind of very early work towards defunding and abolishing police by drawing attention to police brutality. Started in just, I think, one city in the U.S. and spread, and then there's been events now internationally on that day. And we were really grateful to be able to work with the Justice for Jared organizers, with Jared's family, and support them in organizing a day of protest here.
Yeah. And when you say things like abolish the police and defund the police, there's that makes people stand in attention and kind of like, how could that, well, what would a society be like without that, right? And so it really makes people kind of nervous at that, well, we can't just abolish the police. So what do you think some misconceptions about that defund the police term is?
Yeah, good question. I think people even get their kind of get some anxiety when we talk about defunding the police because of this fear that we've all been ingrained with, that we need the police to keep us safe, right? We need the police to keep us as individuals and our communities safe. But when we actually look at what's happening in our communities and who is being kept safe by the police, most of us are not. Police generally respond after violence happens. They often inflict more violence on people who have experienced some kind of crime or interpersonal violence. It goes beyond just kind of how police are individually responding to things or not actually preventing anything from happening to the like kind of systemic roots of policing, which is to maintain existing power structures, right? And power structures that we see here in BC and in Vancouver are very rooted in the violence of colonialism, of white supremacy, and that's legacies that the VPD inherits and upholds and continues to deny that they have any relationship to. And I think especially for me, talking about defunding police really is looking at where is this $340 million that's public money that's going to the VPD. Where else could that money be going? How else could that money be supporting people in our communities to actually be safer, right? What are things that actually help people be safer and experience safety? It's things like housing, access to a safe supply of non-toxic drugs, actual support for interpersonal violence, like free counseling, just things that are not readily available to people in our communities. And we have this huge police force that sucks up so much money and resources and just gets kind of reinforced as the only available option, right? We hear that again and again, that police are responding to all of these things first. They're the first responders. And for me, thinking about defunding and thinking about a world without policing, I see communities that are funded, right? I see people who are taking care of themselves, taking care of each other. I think it's in some ways it's meant to kind of shock people a little bit and get you to push you outside of your comfort zone to think, okay, what is the purpose of policing? Are there other ways that we can achieve this purpose of like people having safety, people feeling safe?
Thank you for those introductions. And I just want to say a few words about why we're gathered here today and about how important it is to support our people. And we often hear people say, who protects us? And what do we hear back? We protect us. Who protects us?
We protect us.
Who protects us?
We protect us.
Who protects us?
We protect us.
Who protects us?
We protect us.
We protect us. It's so important, and it's so unfortunate that we're having this situation with police brutality. And we know since Contact, the purpose of the police from the RCMP and keeping our people controlled and oppressing our people and ensuring that the children are sent off to residential schools and all those kinds of things has happened to our people, something that we've had to endure over these centuries. And I think about this area that we're on, so grateful for the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people who have taken such good care of this land for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And so we have to remember that, and we have to pay homage to the Musqueam people and Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh people each time we talk. And I remember being here as a young woman when I first came to BC, and Vancouver was celebrating, I think it was its 100th birthday. And I was looking out, and I thought, and within 100 years, all this stuff was created here. All this stuff was built up. So, 102 years before that, it wasn't there. And so we all know about Christopher Columbus sailing the ocean blue in 1492, but we don't hear about when the colonizers came to this side of the country. And that wasn't until 1791. So that's not very long ago. Not very long ago that we've had this invasion happening here, and I'm an uninvited guest here on this territory as well too. So a lot of us are uninvited guests on this territory here that we've made home. So our first song that we're going to sing is the Coast Salish anthem in recognition and honor of the Coast Salish people who have taken such good care of this land. Y'all go.
Come on, girls.
Oh, he loves.
Recently, Defund 604 conducted a people's budget survey that aimed at engaging with people in communities most impacted by policing and marginalization from the city's budgeting process. I don't know, can you share with us at all about any of the findings gathered from the survey?
Yeah, so we're just in the process of kind of still sorting through the data and getting ready to release the data that came from that survey. We had over 700 people participate and give us their thoughts in terms of what were things that they thought needed more support and money specifically in their communities, what were things that people wanted. One of the questions that we asked in the survey was who people would want to respond in a if they were in mental health distress or crisis, and overwhelmingly the response was people wanted peer-based services. And people wanted free, culturally relevant counseling. Those were the top two things that people wanted, and it was like 70% of people chose those things as their top two when police was on the list of available options, right? So it's what we're told constantly is, oh, it's only safe for police to be responding to these kinds of crises. When we actually ask people, that's not what they want, and they want something that's peer-based, something that's accessible, right, financially accessible, and also, like, culturally accessible and safe for people.
Right. And kind of moving on, I just wanted to talk about this week the VPD put out a statement regarding the spike in unprovoked stranger attacks here in Vancouver. It was a bit alarming, obviously, of course, but they mentioned that over 4 people a day are the target of a random unprovoked assault. VPD defined an unprovoked anger or unprovoked stranger as someone with no previous relationship with the victim, someone whose initial interactions with the victim were brief, between 0 and 15 seconds, and that the incident was unreasonable given the circumstances. This research was conducted from September 1st, 2020 to August 31st, 2021 and determined that there was approximately 1,555 unprovoked stranger assaults involving 1,705 victims. What are your thoughts on this recent report? I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but how do you think that the Fund 604 model could work towards decreasing those statistics related to unprovoked random assaults?
It's always very interesting to me when VPD produces one of these types of reports, because we don't get a lot of information about how they collected that data, what counts in those reports. I'm also very interested about what data they collected before this period where there's a supposed spike or increase. I think VPD is designed to continuously feed us information that keeps us worried, anxious, and panicked about safety, because that justifies their existence, right? I think it's very much in their interest to continue to produce that kind of data. In terms of, you know, if folks are out there experiencing stressful situations with strangers, and what could be done to support those things, I mean, I think one thing, one of many things that we've seen in the course of the pandemic, which it seems like this data is from, is pandemic data, is that people have lost their housing, people have lost their jobs, there's been more toxic drugs, more deaths, we've seen like clearing of encampments and tent cities in this city, and so I think all of those things are things that increase people's stress, cause trauma to people, and I think increases the distress that exists, and you know, puts everybody kind of on edge. And I'd be very interested in VPD strategy around all of those things instead of these kind of random, unknown, unprovoked stranger attacks, which I think is definitely just designed to create a bit of a sense of panic in people. Like, one thing that Defund is interested in and working groups like the Care Not Cops is in terms of providing skills training for folks in things like verbal de-escalation, which is something that VPD officers, I think, get about 3 or 4 hours of training in verbal de-escalation, where healthcare workers get days and days of training in verbal de-escalation, and lots of practice in that skill. Like, literally daily in my job, I'm verbally de-escalating people and never using or having recourse of lethal weapons to use, but still am verbally de-escalating people without anyone experiencing harm. So I think there's actually a lot of skills and resources in our communities that can be shared better. And that something like de-escalation training could be used for folks, you know, if you're confronted by a stranger who's escalated and don't know what to do, you want to learn some more skills, we can help you.
That was Fraser McPherson from Defund 604 and Care Not Cops. To find out more about Defund 604, Care Not Cops, and further details on the Jared Lowndes case, please visit the links in this episode's description. Turning now to a live speech from Laura Holland, who is Jared Lowndes' mother. This was recorded on October 22nd at the Justice for Jared event at Oppenheimer Park in the downtown east side of Vancouver.
Should I yell? Should I yell? Yeah, I'm okay now? I didn't plan to speak or say anything today. I want to thank everyone, the drummers, the singers, everyone who came, everyone who brought food, harm reduction supplies, everybody. The few people who have very little or nothing to give approached me and offered me money. I want to thank you all. We're here today because my son said this would happen to him. He wrote a letter saying that the RCMP would kill him. Less than 5 months later, it happened. They shot him. It was a public execution. They brought a dog. They let that dog go on him. They basically killed their own dog. Then they opened fire on my son and gunned him down in a Tim Hortons parking lot. I see this as a revenge killing. I don't see how they could have being so scared and so frightened for their lives. That Canadian flag over there says the RCMP often or always will say, I was fearful for my life. How could they be fearful for their lives when 3 fucking cars smashed his car in? How could they be so afraid? How could those men who are heavily armed be so afraid of my son? I have had to put my faith in the IIO to do the right thing. They have to. They absolutely have to charge these criminals. These criminals with murdering my son. They have to. Fuck the police!
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 Fuck the RCMP!
Fuck the RCMP!
Fuck the RCMP!
Fuck the RCMP!
Fuck with me! I'm tired of your shit! You've been killing... They've been killing our people for centuries. They've been stealing our children. They've been boarding up our windows and burning our houses down and telling us to leave. They say we lost faith. We never had faith. How could we? How could we have faith in something like that?
Bunch of fucking bullshit, they go fuck up! Assholes!
This is all we have left of my son now. This is all we have. We carry his ashes around with us. We have nothing. We have nothing left. My son had dreams. He wanted to build houses for people. He wanted to build houses for people who had nowhere to go. He wanted to build houses on our homeland. He wanted to build houses for people who wanted safety. Because who keeps us safe?
We keep ourselves safe.
Last night, his daughter sent me a message. She said, "Grandma, do we know the names of the cop who shot Jared? Do we know the names of the cops who shot my dad?" And I had to tell her, "No, we don't know their names, because their charter rights kick in, because they're going to be charged with murder, and they don't have to say anything to protect their rights. What about our rights? What about our rights? In our homelands, where we've become refugees, where we have become people who are hunted down." My daughter's wearing a t-shirt, and my son is Wet'suwet'en strong, and he's now Wet'suwet'en free. Free from the pain and the suffering that all the assholes inflicted on him. He talked to me and he told me what the police did to him. He told me about the brutality. He told me what they did. And he said why he was never going back. We cried together. It was one of the last emotional conversations that we had. My boy and I cried together because we didn't know what to do. When he complained about the brutality that happened to him, when he brought it up in court, a judge wouldn't listen to him. Nobody listened to him. Nobody stepped up to say, we'll help you, Jared. We'll keep you safe. Not one person. My days have been filled with rage and grief, an unbelievable amount of suffering, because a boy who asked me every morning, coffee, Mom? Yep, two shots of espresso, please. Every morning that he drove into town to Tim Hortons, my boy asked me if I wanted coffee. Because he's gone now, I don't know where to start forgiving. I have no idea. I'm so sorry, Jared. I'm so sorry they did this to you. Fuck the police.
Fuck the police!
Once again, that was Laura Holland, mother of Jared Lowndes, speaking at the Justice for Jared event at Oppenheimer Park on October 22nd. I'm John Z, and you've been listening to The Pulse on CFRO Co-op Radio Vancouver.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.